good afternoon, good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you are listening to Radiance by Design, which we're going to talk about a lot today because we're going to talk about radiating consciously. That's the name of the show, and that's the goal of the show, that we learn to radiate. Today I have two shows, 4 and 5 o'clock, and my paradigm shifter at 5 o'clock is talking about sacred business, but also it's all about radiance. And we're going to know more about that in a while. This show, Radiance by Design, today we're going to talk about family and members of the family. Have you ever noticed, any of you, and you can raise your hands for this, have you noticed that sometimes families have a grouping of people that all have a different point of view, and sometimes it can get really sticky in there? You know, over the last few weeks, and I'm not sure what it is astrologically, but I have talked to more people that are having amazing dissensions with siblings. And so I don't know what's going on with you, but I hope that we're going to talk about it. But it really led me to think about more and more about how we're born into these family groupings and that we really don't need to live a life of perpetual frustration. But what does that mean and how can we get beyond it? And I believe that getting beyond it is, like I always hear in my head from my guides, I always hear in my own life, is raise the energy, change the energy, change the reality. And moving out of the soup, the tiny collective of the family, is a difficult thing, but it really is all about raising your fields. I've been listening to Carolyn Mace's latest stuff on self-esteem. And synchronistically speaking, I'm already planning to do the family talk today. And I'm listening to her stuff yesterday when I was doing a drive. And there she was talking about how many of us are in the family and have to work our way out. And very often the backlash is really intense because many, many people in our society do not live a life of self-referral, meaning finding out who you really are in any given time. And as soon as you move onto the path and you begin to understand, this is something I think we all know, but I'll mention it anyway, that she was talking about it, that as soon as you start to work on your own path, that means start to figure out what's really true. Don't live up to whatever the family said was true as much as what you really think is true. Then you start to disrupt that kind of amazing little, it's like a web, like the spider's web. You're disrupting the web of connections, vibrational strings that run between people. You're breaking out of the, it's kind of the reality picture that is running through your body mind. You're breaking out of it and trying to express something more authentically yourself. So of course, it doesn't make you popular. I keep meeting people who say, oh golly, I've been really shunned by my family as I became a healer. I've been shunned by my family as I stepped out of the bucket. You know, the old bucket of crabs. One crab's trying to get out, and all the other crabs are kind of clawing at it, trying to bring it back in. Because it's really important to recognize that as we change and grow, we are breaking strings and throwing somebody else's sense of balance off kilter. They have no reference, so they kind of make you wrong because you're actually making them uncomfortable. We're being disruptors. We're disrupting the families. Basically, peace and, the kind of contracts and conscriptions and hidden secrets and so on that go on amongst a group of people. You're bringing them out into the open. You're stepping out. You're refusing to play the game. And you're wondering why they're not excited for you. Well, they can't stand it in the sense that you're making them wrong by your very existence. You may not be saying you're wrong, but you are stepping away and not wanting to live. So, not wanting to live the game. So we could actually have more compassion for their anger with us when we look back and see how we have disrupted their consciousness. So we're going to talk today about the family. Are you having any issues with family? Are we tied together because of deep karmic, entrails of old lives or what? Are we tied together in order to create this reaction, and in that reaction, it foments greater change, so you come in and you've got this, the catalyst of change? Are you signed up for that? What is going on with you and your family? What is going on with other people that you're concerned with family? I know that vibrationally things are really, really, I don't think of it as just a mirror. I think that vibrationally we're attracted to those who have the same kind of vibration. So I've seen, you know, when I used to work a lot with people with sexual abuse and stuff, I would see that somebody goes out and adopts a child and finds out that the child was sexually abused if they had already had sexual abuse. It's like our reality is all connections among people who are flowing in the same vibrational pool. And what happens if you want to get out of the vibrational pool? Well, guess what? You create a lot of discord. You can do it. But for us to expect that there's peace, harmony, and delight when we're doing something that we really need to and want to do, especially when it's helping you authenticate in a world that isn't particularly authentic, you can be unpopular. You can even be abused for it. You can even be shunned for it, and so on. The thing we're learning is that when you're shunned for it, you'll find that, depending on who you are, but you have your own business that comes up as a result, and you have your own friendships that come up as a result, and a lot of people then begin to create chosen family. I've done that. We choose a family, and the family is all involved in some aspect of growing and changing and becoming more and more authentic. So it's really interesting, and I'm not really sure if we're all, you know, I've read, I couldn't find my copies of these books, so I think I must have lent them out. The Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls are really wonderful books, and they tell you how you're born into these families, or else you come together with people with whom you have contracts between lives. And there is some suggestion in that that our family groupings come together. I don't know if it's that book, but some books that I've read say that family groupings are people, souls that are born together over and over and over again to enact different roles. I'm not sure that I believe that. That's okay not to know, you know. So I'm not sure I know that. I'm entertaining that as a concept. Sometimes I think we have interlopers pop in. I think we have radicals that pop in and make changes and so on. And Jackie Salvitti's always talking about how we take on sometimes imprints from beings from other lives. We don't necessarily, and this is another theory, we may not necessarily have been those people, but we would take on an imprint. So we have the intelligence of other lives. We have a reason to come together with these people, and it might be out of real love, which very often we do power retrievals with ET healing. Very often when you're clearing someone who might be causing difficulty or might be a controversial figure in your heart and soul, as we're clearing them, they pop into somebody who's really loving, and everything that they're doing to give you challenge is because they love you very much. So, and Journey of Souls talks about that too, but it also talks about how sometimes if you have a really difficult relationship with somebody, you will come back a number of times and it will remain difficult, but it will have some changed tones or some changed activities in these different reflections of your relationship, and then both of you as souls will grow into a more whole and more integrated being. But it might take a number of lifetimes. So I don't pretend to know when we have family groupings. I don't really know whether we're always in one system or another, or whether we get to be interlopers, we try things out. But I do know this, is that family can create huge, huge challenges, things that really teach us to look at ourselves. One of the other things I know, amongst a few things I know, is that this society is changing, and Carol Mace talks about it in a wonderful way. She says we're downloading, this is a nice way of putting it, we're downloading that we're co-creating now, and it's a shift from a paradigm that we all lived in way before. So there are many societies that didn't live with that idea that we're co-creating our reality, but that's the download that we're adjusting to right now. So talk about a disruption. If that's true, I was chuckling to myself as I listened, going, if it's true that it came through that way, it is a disruption for an awful lot of people, and it's in ourselves, and it's in our heart and soul, and it's also a challenge. We're learning how to do it. It's not that we've already known how to do it for centuries and centuries. It's a part of the evolution here. And I'm often marveling that everybody's got their iPod, their cell phone, their personal computers, and so on. And in the meantime, we're trying to learn about self-referral. Well, if it isn't about self, I don't know what it is. So here we are, and she's also talking about how it is all about self-referral, and it's evidential in the industries of our time, which is all about self. And it's not selfish. That used to be the big horror. Oh, I don't want to be selfish. But now we have to be very self-centering. So instead of, for example, living in a family paradigm which says we do secretive things, we do a lot of abuse, we don't talk about it, it goes through generation after generation, the women are all bitter and the men are all covert or whatever, you know, that's just a thumbnail kind of a hyperbole. Instead of that, it's like each of us has to go inside and unhook or move out of the consciousness that let us rerun those programs. And one of the things is to find out always, in all circumstances, what is your motivation for your life right now? Are you doing things to get even? Are you doing things because you've got a wild and rangy ambition that you want to push out of your family of origin just to show them you're better? Or do you have self-referral, which is a way of becoming more and more integrated within yourself? And those are the kinds of questions that get very complex, and they are hard to answer because you have to be really honest about yourself. We're going to go into more of these details, and we're going to take a look at you and your family of origin or your family discussions lately, the kinds of things that you're perplexed about. I'm going to get you to call in. But the first place we want to start is doing an energy clearing exercise, because when you clear the energy, you can literally clear out of contention, out of difficulty with people. You can move out of the way that we have like a meshing that encloses us. It's all these little strings of energy and so on. And that keeps all those little strings in there, keep us attached to certain levels of reaction, thoughts and feelings and so on. And what we're trying to do is break out of them. And one of the tools, or many of the tools, are about energy releasing. They're about meditation. They're about visualizations. And they're about deepening your examination of yourself and your hidden motivations, because it's in the hidden motivations that the greatest attachments are to the levels of consciousness that will keep repeating these same reactive energies, which are so traditional in families. The other thing is Jackie's group has been talking for years and years. For those of you who don't know this, I'm on with Jackie every Thursday night, and she's been exploring the shame, the deep, hidden vaults and vaults of shame that we have as a species, and she's been exploring with her team the shadow, and she went on to that for many, many weeks. And right now it's the feminine rage and how to release that. These are huge, huge imprints or levels of consciousness that are really running our system on planet Earth right now. And before we get into all of the details of this kind of stuff, I'd like us to do an energy clearing exercise so that we can learn how to clear and literally pop out of those kind of interesting weavings of hidden weavings of reaction, like we're talking about shame and rage and so on, that are hidden in the collective. We want to learn how to pop out of those vibrational realities. And that requires a whole lot of energy transformation, and I like to do meditations that are energy meditations. So let's get together and do one. A lot of you listening, just excuse me a minute, I have a technical problem here. My microphone is either too loud, it's so hot and buzzing, and sparking back in my face. Sorry, I'm having a little bit of technical problems. If you'll just bear with me for a minute, that's way better. Thank you. I hope everybody can hear me just fine. All right. I was having a little, let me see. I was having a little energy amp up there that I couldn't handle, so maybe I'm not ready for the transformation we're going to bring about on this show. What do you think? So let's everybody take a deep breath, maybe two or three, because the breath will shift our tensions, won't it? Another one. And another big one. And now let's call in the presence of our guides and angels. Let's call in the ascended ones. Let's ask to feel the connection amongst our higher selves. And to intend together to step out of vibrational pools that are left from old reactive activities, whether we got imprints or whether we experienced them or whatever. And with the help of the beings of light and our connection to source energy, let's call in the golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 miles. And a golden ball below your spine, perhaps 40 feet. And now let's drop a filament of light. This is a very radiant and bright filament. From the upper golden ball, down through your spine, through your head, through your spine, into the lower golden ball. And you could actually feel that. Can you feel that filament of light just radiating? Excellent. You guys are all so good at this. And now around your waist, perhaps 8 feet in radius around your body, a series of these golden balls, and they all have a wonderful resonance and radiance. Now from the upper golden ball to the series of golden balls that create a circle around you, drop many, many filaments of light, pink light. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower golden ball, many, many strings of pink light. And now inside, I'd like you to create a crystal ball, and the outside edges of your crystal ball nudge up against the inside edges of your structure. Good. And the crystal ball is a beautiful, beautiful, radiant ball, and you can feel the feminine energies when you're deep within it. And now inside of that, you're in your double tetrahedron, and that's a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. You're in a diamond-like structure, and for those of you who know the star tetrahedron, you're in that. And these are going to amp up the way we release. So I'd like you to see yourself in that double tetrahedron or your star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and feel your own energy lifting and releasing. Now here you are in a structure. You're in a wonderful sort of a research center. So I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin. And I want you to see on your screen your relationship to different family members whilst you're spinning. Yeah, see to your mom. If you don't have a mom, you put in your replacement figure, however it works for you. See your mom, and your dad, now each of your siblings. Just keep spinning. You know, I notice when I do it is my body gets real tense over specific. I change the name and then I have different tensions. What happens with you? All the way through. And keep spinning. Okay. And then anybody else that's really, really relevant to you? In terms of being family-like and children. Grandchildren. People that are in your life. Now I want you to take the whole, I want you to pull yourself back and then one more time spin and spin and spin separately from all of these beings. what's the goal here? The goal is really not to alienate anyone. It's to extricate ourselves from the hidden subconscious traps between people that we are grown up with or that we're in family with. You know, some of our family members are really easy and we just feel like we're just totally aligned, maybe forever. And some of them are really tricky and you go, what's that person doing in my family? Or what am I doing in this family? So those are the ones we want to see ourselves spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning ourselves away from those incredible strings that have kept us pulled in. Okay? And if you want, you can take a double tetrahedron and spin each of the members of your family. And when you're finished, I feel like I'm spinning a lot right now. It's wonderful. Yeah. And just take a minute and use some more of that screen and try to make a wonderful picture in which you can feel yourself as something you're wanting to create in your life. This picture is separate from family. This is just a wonderful visualization. Project you want to finish. Resources you want to attract. New love, a warmer love for one you love. More truth of self. A better hairdo. Spin it away. Excellent. You know, sometimes when I do that, I see things on that screen that I didn't know I wanted. That just happened to me, so I'll take it. Okay, and give your star tetrahedron or double tetrahedron another spin, and then we'll come back into the room together. Good job. Do you feel much lighter? I know a number of people who had, this is sort of interesting. I hadn't gotten this down on my notes. In fact, this is so interesting to me. I haven't really written proper notes. It's just a cogitational thing. I have a number of women friends who had, this is not to exclude you guys. This is just to say, here's a sampler. I have a number of women friends and clients, for that matter, who've had really, really toxic mothers, really difficult mothers. And I suddenly realized Mother's Day is coming, and it's really important to see what's going on here. What is the value? And I also realize, as I say this, that the value of having a really difficult or toxic mother, a mother who is so repressed, or angry, or for some reason unhappy, or sick, or whatever, has had a different impact on all of us, but there are some common factors. One is maybe it's the trust is something that you have to learn when it comes to other women. Another thing is having to really learn what the feminine is all about and have to reproduce inside of yourself a whole new comprehension of the feminine. That the feminine has been distorted, and talk about Jackie's group talking about the ancient lineage of feminine rage, which a lot of us have because the women haven't been expressing themselves too much. Okay, so we have like all of these things inside that we're trying to transform. And I don't know if that really has an impact on you, but I'm just quite fascinated by the fact that I have a friend who thinks that because women have toxic mothers, then they can't trust each other. We can't trust one another. And I don't think that that's true across the board. I think what we do with this kind of relationship is partly our soul's journey, you know. So if your soul's journey is really pushing you to rise above the paradigm in which you were born and raised, then these are things that push you away from this side of the pool, if you will. These are the things that push you out of the consciousness that would keep you entranced by that old pattern of having a toxic woman at the head of the realm or head of the family. So I'm going to give you the numbers and you can phone in and we'll talk about whatever family issues are going on for you. Remember, it's Mother's Day coming up. Mother's Day is a great time to celebrate the feminine, whether you're a mom or not. it's a really great time to understand how we pass on the lineage. You know, the child is born in the mother's subconscious area, in the womb area, which houses everything left over, all the leftover patterns that come down through the pike, all kinds of reactions. A mom that's abused, that suppresses it, passes on that vibration to the child, so even though she doesn't abuse her child, the child can act like an abused child. These are things we're trying to surmount. We're trying to get beyond these things. So here we are. Let's celebrate one another, and let's talk about what's been going on in your family, what's been passed down, where did it come from, how can we transform it, can we shift the energies, we'll put it in a structure, or what will we do to shift the energy in your body and mind. So if you're in the States, call in 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, that's in the States, and then in Canada, call in at 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322, and then if it's a direct, oh, for the direct line or international calls, it's 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. And as we talk about some of the Carol and May stuff, or even some of our own stuff, and we talk about our family of origin and how if you want to do self-referral, it's probably going to create a bit of mischief for your family members. Look around. Is that true for you? So you're going to be a disruptor? And as Carolyn Mace is talking, she's going, well, you know, then you go through these periods. Well, it's true for a lot of us. You go through these periods of having reacted, having felt the pain, having felt the remorse, having felt the guilt, having tried to swim back to get back into that and keep going and get out of it, and we don't even know what happens sometimes. So I love listening to her because I know that one of the things about her commentary is that her understanding of the evolution of our species has come through her work for, what, 20, 25 years of working with people and seeing them try to individuate. And so now she's making commentaries about the collective. So it's really huge, isn't it, that we're dealing with families, siblings, with all of this kind of stuff and really trying to find out who we really are. So I hope you're going to find out who you really are by calling in. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and I find sometimes the ties in family very perplexing. And in my own family, I think it's been quite a challenge with my... I won't go too far into my own details, but I have a rather large family, and I'm a little bit of the odd one, and they often say that the family scapegoat is a family healer. I'm not saying all of us are scapegoats, but it is that those who are kind of difficult and push out of the family and can't really fit in very often are able to reflect back to the family a point of view that would have been lost in the interactions that are acceptable in the family. What do you think about that? I'm thinking about some twins I know that can't stand each other. Just think about this. They were born in the same womb at the same time, and one of them is really dishonest, and one of them is very, very honest. And one is often getting... having to pay the debts of the other one. And it's like, if that isn't a karmic connection, nothing is. It's like, do you understand what I mean? It's like, sometimes people come together as siblings in very extreme situations in order to rebalance and clear up all kinds of stuff. So let's see. Oh, goody, we have a call. I seem to be floundering here in terms of having brilliant, brilliant examples, so I'm going to let you be the brilliant example so you're on the air. What a way to be put on the spot. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Veronica. I can barely hear you.
Oh, really?
There, that's better.
Well, I'm practically chewing on the microphone.
Does it taste good?
Yeah. It's a little bit fuzzy today.
Anyway, this is Vicki. I just called May to make a comment. for being that one in my family years ago, what kept me going was a teacher telling me that my growth affected 10 generations before me and behind me, people that I was related to. So I thought, well, you know, it just if they don't want to, you know, to me it was just kind of a little giggle inside me that my deciding to enlighten them whether they liked it or not.
But we don't you think, Vicki, that we don't actually do it for that reason? We don't do it to enlighten, or do we? What was your motivation?
Well, no, I was doing it for myself, but because you're vibrationally connected, every time your vibration changes, it affects people's vibrations that are your family's vibration, and so therefore, you know, it affects them. They don't think they know why they're being affected, but no, my reason was for me. I just like the side effects.
It's really interesting because one of the things that I keep learning, I think a lot of us have known this actually, going in and asking yourself what your real motivation is.
Or intent.
Yes, because mine used to be, I was really clear about this, that I figured if I healed enough stuff in me, then I would be able to heal the family.
Yeah, you know, mine was actually more of a stubbornness. It was like getting poked at by family members for being different made me want to be different.
You
know,
really?
Yeah, it kind of, I always had that reaction in life, is if someone tried to poke at me for being that way, it made me want to be that way even more.
Do you think you have very powerful self-esteem?
Well, I did have a teacher say that my mother tried to beat it out of me, you know, not my self-esteem, but trying to get me to do things her way, and there was just no way I was going to, I just had so much integrity to remain who I was that I wasn't willing to let her bend me in the directions that she would have preferred, you know, and I didn't understand what my stubbornness was until later on. It was just a more of a desire to hold on to who I was than to please her.
Did you know who you were as a child?
No, I think it was all just subconscious. I just knew, I just had truths in my head that when she tried to go against them didn't make any sense. You know, I just felt more right inside me than what she was trying to convince me outside me.
You know what? I didn't. I always felt like, and that was a similar story, and you've told me that before. Our stories are similar.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, and of course we were Catholic, and that might have helped a little bit, but I felt like I just wasn't, I knew I was really different. I even looked different than the rest of the family, in fact. But I felt like I wasn't okay, so I would just make myself better and better, which meant I had to know what was going on inside me and why I was doing things. I almost drove myself and anybody close to me crazy trying to figure out all that stuff.
Well, that, and that makes sense. And, you know, I might have allowed my mother to sway me this way or that way if I had more respect for her, but I didn't have enough respect for the who she was and the decisions she made to put my belief in her. You know, her life didn't look like it was working for her. She had rheumatoid arthritis. In my head, she wasn't thinking right, you know. I just didn't want to follow her because it didn't look like she was going down a good trail.
Yeah, and I can remember
it's
saying,
not that I was so confident about mine. I was just less confident about hers.
And I remember saying that all the big people, when I was little, all the big people who know how to live are mad and sad.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like
exactly.
them when I grow up. So, yeah, that's pretty good, too. What about rebellion? Weren't you into rebellion?
I was totally rebellious, but that's what I was rebelling was doing it her way to make her happy. My sister did do it her way, and it pleased her, but now my sister doesn't know who she is.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we said earlier that you didn't really have a motivation, but I think rebellion is a very strong energy drive that pushes you long enough to get you out of the pool and gives you enough energy to keep going.
Yeah, well, in my head, the thing that kept being said in my head is, I just want her to leave me alone. Just let me be who I want to be. Just leave me alone. You know, that was my mantra for So my intent was really nothing outside me. It was really just leave me be who I am. I'm okay. Just leave me be. You know?
So you never questioned who you were, like in terms of being
I was
okay.
too busy trying to, even though if I had time, I was so busy defending not being jerked out of that position by her. You know, it was like I'm not even sure that I think my attention was more on getting her to leave me alone than ever figuring out who I was. If, you know, maybe I would have done that if she had given me 5 seconds to be still with myself. But I've spent most of my life trying to get her just to leave me alone.
Well, now here's something else. So you go through that whole process. You do your rebellion. She does leave you alone. You keep growing and growing. And you have how many siblings?
I have 2 brothers and a sister, but I grew up with 1 brother and a sister.
So did any of them become aligned with the new way that you are?
The one that I didn't grow up with. No, the other two actually are on the sidelines watching. And as my life is appearing healthier than theirs, I think that they're rethinking, you know, because they're actually getting unhealthy. As I'm getting healthier, it's kind of hard to close your eyes to that, you know, but I knew a time would come where it would all become obvious.
Well, and here's the other thing is, like, it's taken a while. Did you ever have dissension in the ranks, people that, siblings that were really mad at you about
it? Oh, yeah, yeah, there was a long time. There was, like, 25 years where I was just removed myself from the family, and they all actually, you know, it bothered my mother. You know, she knew I wasn't mad, but I just didn't. The family would do a lot of stuff together, as we did when I grew up. And then when I got divorced, I just removed myself. And that's when I became spiritual. And, yeah, there was a lot of things said about me. Oh, Vicky's a weirdo. She's out there doing weird things. We don't get it. We don't get it, you know. And I would filter in every once in a while for Christmases and birthdays. And, you know, there would be, like, them trying to figure out, buzzing around like little flies, like, who is she? Who is she? And I would be all friendly and all that, you know, but I was happier, and I was getting happier and happier, and they're like,
So do you think that your kids, you have a grandchild now, eh?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Do you think your children have stepped away from, are out of the family, the familial chain of pain?
I think more so than I. And I can't say that, you know, I had totally sent him out in the world without any of it, but that's what drove me to getting more spiritual was when that familial chain just, you know, you reach that anger point and it starts erupting out of you. And as soon as that came out of me, I thought, that's when I decided to do something about myself. You know,
why was
really
the anger reminiscent of your mom? Or?
Yes, exactly. It was my mom throwing up on my son, and I wasn't going to do the same thing to him that she did to me. I didn't want him to grow up feeling about me the way I felt about her. That was enough to make me want to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So we really have to make a quantum leap from our family. Do you think you've broken through 10 generations worth?
Yeah, actually I do.
Good. That's a wonderful call.
Yeah, you know, and you still have them to compare to. So,
and you're still talking to them anyway, hey?
Yeah, I don't. You know, I think that's part of the growth. Is no, there's no grudge in me at all. I think it almost. I think sometimes they almost want me to do that dance with them, but no, I'm just. I don't have any energy to.
So, what do you do if somebody wants to dance with you?
You have to. What do you mean?
You said, I don't do that dance with them. So,
well, you know, I just, I'll tell you what I do. And they all know that if they start that dance with me, they're going to get my metaphysical spiel. And I can talk and I can talk and I can talk. And I could see them turn blurry eyed and start sinking down on the couch going, oh, God, what did I start?
So it's the old soapbox routine. Well, thank you, darling, and I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day.
I hope you do, too.
Many blessings. Thanks
Talk
for your
you
call.
Later. Bye-bye.
I love that. So we each have a style. I can remember being the crazy one. I was always the crazy one in the family, which is probably obvious because here I am, the psychic. And there was a lot of dysfunction there. And I felt like the crazy. Here's the other thing is I was a very, very, I just popped open Journey, a book about the soul by Spiller, Jan Spiller. And I caught Leo in the North Node, and that's mine. And I laughed because I'm a very, very intense empath. I can sit beside you and look like you, and so I should be sitting beside beautiful women, I think. But in any case, I really have that empathy thing, and it's been difficult. So in the family, I was kind of the crazy one, so when I go away and I come back and sit in the family, I would start feeling really crazy, just really crazy. And so I learned to call in my guides and angels, not out loud, because they would really think I'm a nutcase, but I would call in my guides and angels, and then I would ask for protection as I let the craziness rise in me, or this really weird, uncomfortable energy, sit there and sip my tea or whatever we were drinking at the time, and call it in and exaggerate it in my body, and then command total release while smiling and behaving in a very seemingly appropriate fashion. Otherwise, as a kid, I used to get terrible tummy aches all the time, just terrible, and I know now it was like empathizing with hidden feelings. A lot of kids are like this. We think we're not doing what we don't approve of doing, but in reality, we're running all these programs that are coming out of the people, and they're programs of the familial chain of pain. And I would have tummy aches. I'd get dizzy. I'd fall over. I'd faint. Whatever. And if people were sitting around saying, isn't it nice that we're having a lovely time, I would be rolling around with all kinds of silly illnesses or agonies. Not illnesses, because I wasn't sick. I was like tummy aches and stuff, or aches and pains. And that I had to learn to command total release, because you wander around and you're not really yourself at all. So I had to really step out of that kind of empathy. So what did you do? Call in with your comments about your family. Remember, it's Mother's Day coming up. And what is Mother? Mother is actually the place that we do pass on the familial chain of pain. I have done that myself. I've had a child and passed on a certain amount of it too. But she's able, much faster than I, to see what it is, to see that she has a choice, because there's a lot that we learn about making a choice in every moment and not just living out reactions. I had to learn to choose to learn about empathy, choose to learn about rebellion and reaction, choose to learn to clear stuff, and choose to learn what it is I'm really about. And my daughter, who's way younger than I am, because I was in my 40s when I had her, is doing it way faster. At least she's beginning to now in her early 20s. So those are some of the ways that we start to really make huge changes. What are you doing at this time of the year, Mother's Day, and learning about changing family? Here's the other thing, as I learned many years ago, like Vicki, from teachers, that as we change and we grow and we start to unhook, for example, if people in your family don't ever talk about what's real, but you're feeling what's real, it's the old elephant in the living room kind of routine. I mean, you start to clear that and you start to speak about what's real and you start to change yourself, your kids will be able to do that. They don't have to pass on that lineage where people don't dare talk about what's real. But it might be very sort of huge in the historical family, but it can be gone. So my grandchildren don't have to have, they don't have to be trapped by our lineage in such a way. Let's see what else here. So when we see families where, for example, there's been an awful lot of abuse, here's the thing, is we used to see how the abuse would take 20 years of therapy to kind of sort out. Well, all of that is changing really fast. And so families that had a huge history of that kind of thing are able to step out of it. It's really funny because Lazarus, who we often go and experience, he's a wonderful channel being who's a teacher, and the Dalai Lama that we had the privilege of going and sitting in a stadium to hear him talk, and Carolyn Mays and others are all saying this. We don't have to go through, because of the energy fields that are changing in the collective now, we actually don't have to go through all the therapies and so on that we used to think we did. It doesn't have to take 20, 30, 40 years to get rid of abusive reactions in your body, mind. Apparently, we can simply walk away from them. Now, I haven't been able to experience that instantaneously yet, but maybe you have, and you can call in and tell me that. But actually, we can. Thank you for your call. Just finish this thought. we can actually presence in our body-mind what some of these reactions are and really just notice the energy, where it is in your body, and actually release it right now and make it a no thing. And that will go down the pike as well. That will go through your genetic doodah and into your children. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ronnie. This is Joel. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Joel?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
Hey, I've been enjoying listening to your episode today. I'm wondering if I could go off topic real quick.
Sure.
I have a friend of mine. You've talked to her. She lives up here, Kathy, that's going to make a journey here this next couple of days to hopefully meet somebody that will help her with a medical issue. And I'm wondering if you could see if this is going to be something that is good for her or not.
Is it a... Kathy, she has to do some... It's funny. This is what I'm seeing, Joel. It's as if she has a barrier up against it for some reason. Does that make sense to you?
It does to me, but she wouldn't agree with that.
Well, and is she listening?
No, she's at work.
Okay, so here's the deal. I would want her to, because this person, is it a special healer? Is that it?
Correct.
It seems like there's some kind of edge between the two of them, and I don't know why. So you want to ask her, remind Kathy, and if she knows who I am, ask her to clear her own defenses. Tell her there's a very strong defensive energy in her, and healing is always about ourselves, right? It's how we allow healing to come in.
Correct.
And I just get a huge wall between her and this fellow. And it doesn't have to be there.
Do you see anything that's not quite right with this fellow?
He has a lot of suppressed emotions, and this might be what she's defending herself against. First of all, I see that he's a very powerful healer. And a healer is somebody who helps you engage your own healing ability, right? But she's really, really sensitive, and he has a lot of suppressed emotional energy, including some kind of volatile feelings. Have you ever met him in person?
No. He actually lives out in Nova Scotia, and her family members have had dealings with him, but I come to find out that he has had them use these Kenoki pads, which I have found via my research to be total quackery.
Uh-huh.
And prior to that, you know, I thought, hey, great, she's going to meet a very special person. But since I learned that, I thought, wow, maybe this isn't what I thought it was.
Well, I'll tell you something that I say, and I want everybody at home to hear this part, is that she has a defense against him, and he's got some hidden emotional issues. And I was talking about being an empath, and she's very empathic. She's got a very sensitive nature. And I'm afraid that she'll block him because block his ability to trigger her healing. I'm not afraid. He's not going to tear her apart or anything. But I just don't see, if she doesn't get in touch, she's a very powerful intuitive herself. She's going to be, you know that?
Really?
Mm-hmm. She doesn't know it yet. She's still holding on to a way she identified herself.
Yeah.
And to become a healer is a really big challenge. A lot of the thing about stepping out of family of origin is about this as well, is that you have to challenge yourself to release and release and release and release. And what she's got bondage to is some kind of defensive pattern where she really doesn't trust people, she's really careful, and there's something about her energy fields that are blocking him. So I'm going, okay, I would want her to get really in touch with that and really talk with her angels and command total release of it.
Very good.
And I don't think he'll hurt her, but here's the other danger part, is he has a lot of hidden emotion, which I already said. He hasn't dealt with some of his emotional stuff, and she will feel that in a combative way. You know how some people are? You can be with them, and you suddenly are depressed, and it's really theirs.
Well, how can somebody that appears, at least to you, to be so gifted have such a... something undealt with in their life?
Well, you know something? It's the reality of being a healer is a huge, huge, it's a mammoth job to crawl through maybe millions of years of experience and reactions and dump as much as you can, you know?
Yeah.
And
no, I don't, but...
Well, and he's very, very, very psychic. He's very intuitive. and I would rather he use the Kanoki pads or whatever they're called than his hands until he clears the energy. And I don't know, I feel badly talking about somebody on the air who's a healer, but I would say that she has a defense against him. That's all I'd really say.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, because in the, it's been a few weeks since she's had this planned, and I've tried to get her up and said, hey, this is going to be a really neat person. This is going to be very special. This is going to be something, hopefully it's going to help you with your issues. And I've never really felt that bounce back. I always felt it just kind of deflected. Basically.
You mean that she's not enthusiastic?
Not as much as I thought she would be, yes.
Yeah, I think she has some trepidation. You know, there's just something that's not ready to release in her quite yet. And you might want to say I said that and see if she can get with something like that. This is not about judgment, it's about self-protection.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I do know that I believe, and when talking to her, that she is... had experiences in her past that she's buried very deep and I think is afraid to deal with anything, even remotely close to opening up and allowing that stuff to come back up, so she tends to just push everything back.
Yeah, and it's the pushing everything back that keeps her illness dominant. It's an autoimmune thing, isn't it?
They don't know. None of them AMA folks can figure a thing about it, so that's why...
Well, it appears today for me to be an autoimmune kind of thing, which means that somewhere deep down at some consciousness level, she's suppressing herself and is exhausted, you see? It's kind of like that. So I look and I go, it might even be more tumultuous. I feel like she has another healer coming forward in a short while, who's a woman who's really attuned. I believe she's had something similar to what Kathy has. And it'll be easier for Kathy to hear her.
Great.
But Kathy's got to get to the point where she actually wants some of this guard down and some of her releasing to come through. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
But I have to go now, and I'm really glad to hear your voice, Joel.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to hear yours.
And you take care of yourself. Let me know what happens.
All right. Thank you.
This is Veronica Entwistle, and that was my family one, and I think that I'll probably do it again because it seems like I got a bit lost because the family issue is very, very complex, is it not? Now, we ended with something wasn't exactly family, but it could have been. It's those really hidden subconscious defenses that keep coming up and blocking us from our own personal transformation and healing and light. And in fact, in her case, those blocks are pushing her to keep exploring her own journey more and more. Now, I'm going to come back at the top of the hour with Ayman Sawaf, and he's written a book called Spiritual Commerce. I'm going to read the subtitle here. It's Sacred Commerce, The Rise of the Global Citizen. And, you know, this is a really exciting book. He's talking about the merchant priesthood. He's talking about how commerce has had... It's really interesting because the evolution of commerce has included waves of time in which those who are really leading the whole economic doodah in the world were actually radiating, again talking about radiance, radiating at a higher level so they could ease those competitive energies like jealousy, greed, fear, and so on. They were vibrationally attuned to actually lightening those so that they could transform those and that the marketplace could suit everyone's needs all over everybody in the country. So it's a whole different thing. And he's not just talking about that. He's talking about sacred commerce in these times, too. So tune in at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. And my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive, and you can hear me with Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing at 8 o'clock on BBS Radio Thursday night. Oh my, that's a really deep and demanding show where you're going to grow like a little weed as you listen to that show. And so we'll talk to you at the top of the hour. Thank you.